but
hey guys, welcome back to the Some Ordinary Podcast. I'm the only person here that matters, and then there's everybody else.
Y'all
starting off strong.
Love that. This man, he's been high on Tate speech. We respect.
I've been hanging out with fascists. What can I say?
Yeah.
Ah.
What, man, I'm here, really, bro?
Come on.
How's it going, Tom? We have our guest today, Turkey Tom, as you may know,
who
holds a variety of content, his most recent video regarding the various scandals of Andrew Tate. But I'm personally a fan of his alter channel, the Tom After Dark, you know.
Yeah, everyone tells me they like that channel better, yeah. Yeah.
I like it because you cover really, really insane like topics, like, you know.
So I think out of everyone here on the podcast, I'm the only person that had a Turkey Tom video and a Tom Dark video made about me. So,
yeah, you had both.
I'm honored, bro.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, but that's one of the things, dude. Recently, your channel's been like killing it, and obviously, it has been. I've been wondering why it hasn't popped off the way that it currently has. But it's just I think like I don't know. There's like people that can cover a topic, and then there's people that can like cover a topic, you know, and with like impartialness. You know what I mean? Like you can go from covering, again, Andrew Tate all the way to like the pedos of Minecraft, the creeps in the general.
Is there really such a difference though when you think about it? Who knows?
Between Andrew Tate and a bunch of Minecraft degens? I don't know.
We'll have to ask the experts.
There's a lot of overlap, I'd say.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the reason why it's been doing so well recently is I finally gave in to the meta of long videos doing well on YouTube. So
yeah.
I realized that literally every other channel that does what I do, like Jay Aubrey, The Right Opinion, their videos are all like 40 minutes to an hour long. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to bite the bullet. I'll do it. And as soon as I did that, I did like three like 40 minute videos in a row. And then I got like 30K subs that month, like, you know, best month I've ever made in terms of revenue. And it just keeps going that way. So that's really, if you're trying to make it in the commentary space these days, boys and girls, get those videos over 35 minutes.
That's how it went for me. Like even the videos that are really successful, like we did the lightweight stuff, and I was expecting that video to completely fail. And I guess compared to like other content, it usually does. Like if I compare it to like, you know, other videos that I'd make, and it did really well. It did well enough where like, I guess some people took it like incredibly seriously. Like I was really, really nice on it. I was like, man, I mean, I could just make the comparisons to TanaCon all I want. And then it started some drama for like a day or two. But after that, it like died down. But yeah, you're right. Like a 40 minute video does so much better than like a 10 minute, 15 minute video.
Yeah. And but the revenue in my experience is like 3-4 times what it would be otherwise. And like the effort for me making a 20 minute video versus like a 35 minute video is not that great. So it's like, you know,
yeah, it's worth it.
I respect it. I mean, I'm trying to find a way to add more like analytical research based content to my like game shows and stuff on my main channel. And I have the script written for one. So that's really cool. And yes, I'm trying to make it like a really long video.
How long are we talking here? We're talking like 4.5 hours.
Probably like an hour. It's not, it's not Nikocado avocado size.
You're such
a dick, it. It's because he's so big.
Yeah, you didn't say length. You had to say size.
I was talking about the length of the Right Opinions video. Obviously, why'd you have to make it about weight, Caleb?
Well, I was watching some Nikocado recently because I just have to get that like itch out of my system. You know, every like month or two, I like come back to him, and it's just like, dude, I don't understand the fun part about the mukbang. It's like usually it's like, aren't you supposed to be eating different shit? Every time I go there, it's like instant noodle mix, instant noodle, spicy.
Yeah,
noodle.
It's red like, or blue or some shit like that.
And he'll like eat like green tackies, and it's just like, god damn, dude, it's just like the thumbnail is revolting me away. Like I'm not gonna click on that, but I usually end up doing it because
like
there's like
the
a whole lore to it.
TikTok recipes, you know, it's like eating 4 million tackies that are also pink.
Oh god, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I still haven't got my pink sauce, by the way.
That's
Charlie funny. Got it.
He did.
So yeah, he ended up getting the pink sauce. Tom, did you hear about the pink sauce?
The pink sauce?
Yeah.
You what is this?
The pink sauce?
No.
Okay, so
that's
on TikTok,
just, that's a new
there's
age
this,
currency, my friend.
So on TikTok, there's this chef known as Chef Pie. And so she made her own honey, pink sauce, like her own little condiment, which I guess is like ranch with like pink food coloring or some shit. We like went over it. She like literally is making this in her house. She's using like things that can go bad in heat, like milk and honey. And she's just like shipping it off whenever she feels like
in
it's
the
like
mail
the most, like, yeah it's like she's the smart. Most like yeah and I don't know if like well actually isn't she though because she hasn't been like busted for it like I think it's gonna take one lawsuit before it happens.
So one of the things that's like it, there's there's another thing that's called cottage laws that are very boring, but like if you sell direct to consumer, there's no storefront, you're pretty much safe with liability with a lot of that kind of stuff. Like if you say if you don't say specifically certain things, you should be fine. I'm not sure. She's in California, maybe?
No, she's in Florida.
Oh, yeah, she definitely has cottage laws. I don't think she'll get sued then.
They don't give a fuck in Florida. DeSantis.
Yeah.
DeSantis gives none. Yeah.
Yeah. No at all. No. He specifically passed bills allowing people to send.
He was like, you need to be able to send your pink sauce over TikTok. Yeah,
exactly.
That was first before immigration. Yeah. When he was running.
He's like, listen, before we go any further with our state, we need to send all the bounties of Florida, like pink sauce and sex offenders, over to the other states.
Yeah. You guys seen, there's been a lot of talk about weight on Twitter recently, Muda. I think you saw it maybe a little bit.
I did, in fact, see this one degenerate fascist Twitter account.
Yeah.
Known as Zaptai
on Twitter. Yeah, that guy. Very, very racist guy I hear. Yeah.
Douche.
go ahead with all the DMs you've been receiving, but I'm sure it's been a wild adventure for you on the internet.
Well, thankfully, no DMs because my DMs are closed. No one can message me unless I message them. But lots of tweets. For those watching who may not know what's going on, I tweeted this picture of Ethan Klein, and he's sort of reclining in his chair like this. And you can see he's rather girthy. He's got some gut to him. He's got some weight to him.
He's gained some weight. He's what the boys call thick.
He is thick. He's certainly thicker than he's been in the past. And so I tweeted out this picture, no caption, no context, just to see, what would happen. And obviously, I can't play dumb.
That's the beauty.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of it. Because I did that intentionally because I was like, how are people going to take away from this? But obviously, I know like he looks overweight in the picture, whatever. But instantly, all these people come out of the... weight,
so when I saw it first, I was just like, that's just a really? Guy.
I just saw a normal guy. That's what I saw. I saw a fascist post a video photo of a normal guy.
No, a photo of a healthy guy.
My favorite thing is, you saw a comment saying, this post is not only fatphobic, but also anti-Semitic.
Yeah, I didn't really know where the anti-Semitism came in, though.
I can definitely see the fatphobic, potentially, because I get called fatphobic all the time.
Mostly by us.
Yeah,
I don't even know what fatphobic means. Does that mean, like, you don't like... people. I'm not scared of them.
just run faster.
Maybe I'm scared like when I drive a compact car, so when I see them in the road, I get scared. I might do some damage to it. But apart from that, I'm not particularly worried about them.
Jesus Christ. But,
I'm not that worried about them, but I had all these people on Twitter, Yoko Ono tag team, like Anissa Jamha and whoever this other girl is tweeting at me telling me that I shouldn't be tweeting stuff like that. They're like calling me fatphobic. It's like, I don't even know what that means. Like, this is a guy whose career is built off making fun of people for their appearance and whatever else, I think he was completely justified.
I mean, I think if you looked into the old history of a lot of these channels, you'd probably find that there was elements of blatant fat phobia when it was accepted, I guess you could say, in the YouTube like game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because there was a period of time where people, I guess somehow like Mandela affected themselves. Like, hey, we used to be completely PC back in the day. I'm like, I think peak YouTube was like 2014, 2015. YouTube was a lot edgier. It was a lot into a point where, if you were a content creator, like that whole expectation of like, if you're going to dish it, you better be ready to take it. That mentality was very much strong up there. Right. Like nowadays it's like, you can't mention like a slight thing anymore. And sure, there's a few people that can take it for sure. Right. Like, I mean, if you said some like racy thing to me or some off color joke to me, I'm not going to personally be offended by it. Cause I'll probably quip back at you with something, that would hit you too. Right. Like whatever. Yeah. But that market is slowly dwindling away too. And it feels like a lot of the people that are in the older camp have like switched their, content or, a lot of their viewpoints into heavily, going
against. I mean, Justin Wang made a good tweet about this once. He was basically saying like, he doesn't blame anyone for changing out of self-preservation. Cause like, I get it, obviously I'm not as edgy on YouTube as I am on Twitter just because the platform doesn't allow for it. I want to make videos. I want to make money, have a job. Or rather not have a job doing YouTube. I want to have sponsors, right? And so, there's certain things you do and don't do in certain places to your own benefit, and that's perfectly fair. I think the real issue comes in when you see these people that pretend as if, they're someone they aren't, or pretend as if they were acting a different way back then than they are now. Many examples I could probably name, get your podcast into some hot water or whatever, but basically just stupid that annoys me. It's like, that's like the worst thing to be online right now, these posers.
I think it's I understand, like, again, that Justin Wang tweet is great. The thing about it is, like, I personally don't like the holier than thou mentality shit, where it's like, you can't do this, you can't do that. Like, I was watching recently, like, again, I don't want to be like naming names because there's no point to naming. I don't want to like start drama. I'd rather just cover the overarching point. When it comes to like a lot of figures who used to be slightly edgier, it's like they'll go back and look at their content and be like, this wasn't okay ever. And I'm like, oh, it was okay when you were, you know, riding the algorithm and growing massively. Now it's okay to like criticize. I'm like, really, guys? Like, now we're gonna play the holier than thou card when you were completely off brand years ago, and now you're trying to be like this, you know, new age, you know, new PC. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I just don't. It's made YouTube so diluted that I feel like every bit of content that all of us even make, right? It's like we've had to change our like. I guess we'd have to change up our content significantly, I would say, to just even be on the platform, you know?
Like, even I was more PC when I started, by far. I didn't even curse when I first started, because I played games. I just did gaming stuff. And then I would,
You didn't curse at all? That's interesting.
I didn't curse at all for, like, the first year. I did a lot, but I just cut it out. And I was like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Because you got to understand, I didn't have, like, any friends on YouTube or anything. I was just like, I just want to make money. Like, I don't even know what's going on right now.
When did you start?
2015.
Okay. All right. So that was you were being clean when the rest of YouTube was all like going
filthy,
crazy,
degenerate,
drinking bleach. Yeah, exactly. Disgusting. Yeah. Like with the pigs.
Yeah. And I was like, man, this is f-ing. These people are like just like me in real life, because I'm way more f-ed up and always have been, like, just I don't know, because I was homeschooled and I grew up in Virginia, where just a bunch of rednecks, and like I didn't understand any sort of like ethical treatment of people online or anything like that. Luckily, I never just hated anyone, so I didn't like attack anybody online. I never had to delete a footprint or anything like that, and I was fortunate enough to be PC initially, but it was just because I felt like my videos were made for children, because I was gaming, like I would see a lot of my friends cursing and shit, and then I'd be like, well, I don't really understand, and then I realized, like, oh, these are actually like 20 year olds and some 18 year olds, and it's like a majority is not children. So I just started saying fuck every now and then. And then, and then I started just making fun of fat people a lot, and my channel got huge.
Yeah, bro, unless you're playing Roblox, you don't have to, like, unless you're playing shit like Roblox, cussing is always all right. Like, no one cares. Like, I know my aunt's kids, I would say, like, dude, 2-3 years ago, used to watch a ton of Roblox content, like, just all the Roblox YouTubers. And it made me want to, like, drink bleach, quite literally. YouTube, by the way, drinking bleach is wrong. Self-harm. You should never do it.
We are not in promoting Donald Trump's cure for COVID.
In Minecraft.
Okay? Yeah, I'm not promoting any of Trump's medical advice. But when it came to, like, Roblox, they're, like, watching this content. And, like, the people that are making it, like, one of them was this guy named Dennis, who seems like he's the funniest dude in the world, right? Like, he seems like, honestly, when the camera is off, he's just like, oh, boys, let's get the coke out and do a line. Like, this shit,
oh my god,
like, because every time I'm watching him do any of this content, he's like, he's so dead inside, like, hey, let's, like, that's all, like, he's just, it's like dead-eyed, like, he's just like trying to have fun for the kids. And I feel like after he's done recording, he's like, oh, let's just, like, let's literally, like, fucking bring out the hookers and blackjack boys, we just made like thousands today. Like, that's what I feel like Dennis is, right? Or like any Roblox YouTuber, because I feel like when I'm watching somebody, you know what I mean, like, you can kind of figure out that, like, they're just being kid friendly on purpose. And then, of course, like, even the kids grow out of that. So eventually they went from watching these Roblox YouTubers to, like, genuinely a bit more, you know, they watched, like, all the Call of Duty channels, like, you know, fucking, and they just started, like, their language just changed. Their whole demeanor's just changed. Like, from 1 year, he goes from, like, watching Roblox content and, like, being a wholesome little kid to watching Dr. Disrespect talking about, like, destroying. Like, he's just like completely changed. So it's like, I feel like the moment you get to the point where, like, it's at like 14-15 year range, is like, at that point you're changes, not watching that kid content.
Yeah, something a lot of people don't know is I pay a lot of attention to the Roblox community. I like it a lot, and there's this big channel, I think the biggest one right now is named Flamingo. You guys are probably familiar with him.
Albert.
Oh, I love Albert.
Yeah. Well, he used to have a channel called Albert Stuff, and he was, like, sort of, when 2016 was around, he was way edgier. He was way more unchained, and now he's, you know, he's still kind of edgy, but he's more family-friendly, which I get. Back then, he was a lot more off the rails, is my impression.
Okay, this is the guy that, like, I don't know, he was, like, so edgy. He treated every game like an actual war, and I played Fall Guys with him.
Exactly.
It was so sad.
The thing I know about Albert is like people like obviously he's a big Roblox guy, but when it comes to like any of the wildest shit, dude, he was the guy that like helped me, like he was the guy that tipped me off to the wildest shit. He like tipped me off to like packages delivered around Washington, D.C. Like, we thought they were, like, bomb packages at the time.
Really?
Yeah, so he's really? The guy that, like, messed me. Like, I know this is more, like, in your camp of content, but did you hear about these
So he's packages? Paying attention to all that stuff. Oh, he pays attention.
Does. He does. I think it's just, like, he probably obviously can't post it for his, like, audience, because that's not even his audience demographic, but it's, he's, like, I know that he loves talking about that kind of shit.
We should get him on the podcast.
We should.
Good idea.
We should have Ruben Sim as well.
I was going to say, that reminds me of Wavy Webster with the commentary content. You know, he makes his videos that are pretty tame, but behind the scenes, he's like, oh, the ball's in Keemstar's court. This just happened, and this just happened. It's like, oh, you're paying attention to all of it, buddy.
It's really funny.
You kind of have to.
I pay attention to all of it. I'm not related. I guess I'm sort of commentary adjacent. I'm really not in the commentary community all that much. The closest I am to the commentary community is this podcast. You know?
I think what you'll find is that people who label themselves as a commentary channel, often they have a hard time growing or breaking outside the label. It's better to be seen as just a YouTuber or a creator than
I wouldn't even call myself a commentary person. Like, I just upload whatever I feel like. Like, if it's computer related shit, cool. If it's, you know, if it's like fucking
I don't know. Stuff, shooting guns.
Yeah, like 2-3 days ago, I just uploaded like fucking myth hunting in San Andreas. I'm like, that's just what I felt like. I'm like, just every day is a shit post.
Speaking that was my first video, actually. Myth hunting in San Andreas.
Defining Bigfoot?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, that's the first videos I grew up with on this channel. Like, X-Files theme in the background, 240p. Like, and dude has, like, the notepad, like, in front of it. Like, back when people used to commentate on videos with notepad on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like, fucking 007 sound system. God, I'm fucking old. Speaking of guns, though, have you seen that one video on YouTube making the rounds? Like, robot dog, and then they put the gun on it?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's, like, donut operator and his, like, buddy put on, like, a fucking, like, legit rifle
it's
on
I the did back a of thing, a robot right? dog.
Yeah. He comes to America for like a month and he's like, you know, in America, there's been 67 shootings that have happened in a month. I'm going to put a gun on a robot dog. And I'm like, God damn. And I was seeing it float around on the internet and people were like, wow, it became political because obviously it was about to do with firearms. And they were like, these guys are like gun nuts. And I'm like, I feel like I'm the last few people I feel like all of us actually are the last couple of people that can look at a video like that and never apply politics. We're just like, oh,
true.
He's got duct tape gun to the back of a dog. That sounds kind of cool. Sick. Yeah.
Like, I want one.
Yeah, like I was looking at the robot dog. It made me want to buy a robot dog, and then the price came up, and I'm like, actually, it was not too bad. It was like $70,000 to buy a robot dog.
Jesus,
yeah, not too bad, bro.
No, it's. Yeah. I mean, no, but for the tech, business honest,
expense,
though, like,
you make a video out of it.
What are you, an investment banker?
No, dude, I'm not an investment banker at all. I actually hide the fact that I am, in fact.
Maybe you can scrounge up like $24,000. You can invest that in some sort of altcoin. I could. And then you can buy the dog and you won't have to worry about it.
Well, speaking of the fact, since we're all dodging around a landmine, let's just fucking jump onto the Claymore directly. Uh-oh. We got to ask you. What...
Before we begin, I need to say that I'm not actually fat phobic. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, he is.
I am.
But
I'm not.
What has your thing been with Internet of Jay? Have you been banned off completely from contacting one of your former best friends?
He blocked me. I've tried to contact him through some mutuals. He's been unwilling to speak to me. You know, I don't know what I did. I only like harassed him for like a year or something like that. I feel like it wasn't that big of a deal, but
you only harassed him for a year.
Want to talk to me?
Easy.
No, it was like a few months. It was like a few months, but he blocked me. He made this tweet saying that he had just gotten a new job as an investment banker. I don't know what his job was prior to that, but I quote tweeted it and I was like, who's going to trust you with your money when you lost like $24,000 to Dogecoin or whatever? I think is what I said. And then he blocked me instantly. And since then, no contact. But before then, we were mutuals on Twitter. And I talked to him a few times and asked him if when he went to VidCon, if he'd want to hang out with me. He was like, yeah, bro, I'll show you that I'm not the cringe lord that I am online. I'm actually just a cool guy. And I was like, all right. And then he didn't go to VidCon and I didn't get to talk to him, fortunately.
Yeah, the 24,000 moon wallet shit got me out. The way I figured that out was when Keemstar retweeted him or something. And he was like,
yeah.
I was like, God.
Yeah, Keemstar said the rise and fall of your wallet, I think, or bank account. One of those.
I mean, losing 24,000. I mean, funny. I understand the whole like crypto scam thing, right? So it's like, oh, yeah. You know, some people fall for that shit, but it's like,
I got scammed.
I mean, there's getting scammed, Caleb, but then there's like, hey, I downloaded this one application on Android that takes like 3 days to function, and the Moon Wallet isn't. I'm like, dude,
I didn't do that.
You think if you're putting in five figures into cryptocurrency, you'd at least research pretty heavily, you know? Like, I've known guys who are like, I'm getting into the crypto game and a research, like, they'll do like a month of research on cryptocurrency, and then they'll look at what they do, and it's like buying $100 worth of Bitcoin. I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay. So a month of research to buy $100 worth of Bitcoin. And then on the other inverse, right. It's like five figures all pissed away. Like, I don't know, man.
And according to him, at least, it wasn't like expendable income to him. You know, it was like 25 grand that was like his life savings or something, and he just put it all in. So he's literally, he's that guy that you hear about on like podcasts who like lost it all to the crypto hype.
That is sad, because it is gambling. I mean, I gambled a couple times, and I think I still have like 4 grand or something like that. But I put like $7,000 that I had made from crypto before. I think my original investment was 2, and I bought Ascoin or whatever, and it went up to 250,000, and I didn't sell it, and then it just like it like 20x or whatever, and I just never sold it, and then it just became there was no liquidity to pull out, so just
yeah,
it was a total scam. Obviously I could have sold it at the tippity top when it was still rising, obviously, but I didn't, because I was seeing it and I was like, this is literally like doing drugs, and then I just closed my laptop and went to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's my understanding, Bitcoin or Ethereum, it's pretty much just like gambling.
It is.
Just on these shit coins.
Absolutely.
It's really not worth it. So maybe if you have some extra money, you want to maybe not beat inflation, but get closer to beating it than you would be in a savings account, maybe put it into Bitcoin. That may be your best bet, boys and girls.
My thing with it is like, you know, not speaking as an expert investment banker or anything, I'm just saying like, if you're gonna put money into like, you know, crypto or anything, it's like you might as well just like throw it into like a blue chip stock or something if you want to fight off inflation, you know? Because at that point, it's like buying property without the whole hassle of like going to a fucking broker and shit. The whole other thing is like, when you're putting your money into like cryptocurrency or anything or any of that asset, you have to understand like your volatility is insane at that point, right? Like, it's not a safe hedge or anything, because it's like, yeah, Bitcoin can 100x itself, but can also floor it to the ground. And we've seen it with like just the last month where like $2 trillion were lost. And Twitter was hilarious that day, because it's like, all the crypto guys who used to be flexing their Lamborghinis were like showing their fucking McDonald's job applications. And we were just like,
where are my apes? Yeah. I have no more apes.
What do you think about the whole NFT stuff? What do you think about buying the whole like ape shit? Do you feel like that's a smart investment?
Yeah. Me? As with crypto, I mean, it's pretty much gambling in my eyes. I think there are some projects like, for example, Sam Hyde just launched Mondo Megabits. Maybe there could be some investment there, because his project is backed up by his whole like, you know, production team, and he has like a loyal fan base to support it. But in a lot of cases, you know, I think with these apes and with NFTs in general, you just don't know how things are going to go. And so apart from a few, I mean, you know, maybe Milady is a decent investment, or that the apes at first could have been a decent investment. But generally speaking, NFTs, you know, are not something I would put my money into if you want to make a safe investment.
Just like yesterday, Metaverse launched basically Hatsune Miku, like their own like VTuber thing. Did you see that?
Wait, Metaverse? Like Meta? Like Facebook?
I don't know. I have to check. I think so.
I haven't seen that.
Because don't get me started on the Metaverse. I don't know if you guys heard about virtual land shit lately.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard about like people selling virtual land and shit?
I've heard of it months ago, but...
So basically like we've all played like MMO games, right? Like where we just log in, roam around a free world and like get groomed by somebody. Like we've all played world shit. Like,
yes.
We've all played MMO.
Of course. Yes.
So
especially the grooming part.
But like, anyways, with these MMOs, it's like what they're doing is they're like, you log into them and you also have to buy like, well, you're incentivized to buy the land. Like you buy a little chunk of land in the metaverse and like you live on it. You like play with each other and all that shit. And every time you look at the gameplay for these metaverses, it's like, you know, some shitty like Korean MMO, you know, from like back in 2005, that gameplay and graphical level, except people are just buying land for like thousands of fucking dollars. And like, you'll talk to them about it. It's like, what's your reasoning? And it's like, for them, it's like they invest into the land. And I guess they're using this new term called play to earn, which is the biggest game in the world. Cause it's like, they'll tell you can play the game and earn money. But what they don't tell you, it's like you'll spend $1,000 and you'll make like 20 cents a day. That's when you're playing like fucking hours upon hours upon hours.
Yeah.
So what they found out is like, so a couple of rich guys buy all the land and then they become virtual land, like rent like slumlords. and just like rent it out to like third world countries. So for the third world guys, we're like, oh shit, 20 cents a day? This is better than working where we're at. So basically the fucking, the first world has capitalized on the third world so fucking well digitally that that's the whole market right there. But yeah, that's...
I will say a lot of this, this tech seems really crazy right now. Like it seems like stupid, you know, I'm sure everyone's calling like with NFTs and all this shit, but
oh, Tara's gonna have to bleep that.
Oh, okay. No, sorry about that. There's this one quote that's like, new technology is overestimated in the short term and underestimated in the long term. And I think that will hold true with basically, you know, every new technology, including this. I think, you know, short term NFTs, there's going to be a huge bubble. There's going to be sort of a proving ground period for the technology where it's going to be shit on a lot. There's going to be a lot of media scrutiny. There's going to be YouTube videos pointing out how the Bored Apes are run by, you know, I don't know, unscrupulous figures or whatever. But I think long term, this technology is going to become so pervasive that it's going to be a part of everything we do. I mean, it already makes sense, right? Online purchasing is so common. Everyone already buys stuff on Amazon. You already have stuff like, you know, microtransactions in games. Fortnite's entire business model, it's a free-to-play game, but it's based off of skins. That's, those are all NFTs right there.
Yeah.
Same with CSGO when that was like 5-6 years ago, right, with knives.
Video, rare items, where he was talking about how NFTs always existed with different names. It's like whether you're betting over a CSGO skin or you're arguing about like little virtual things, virtual aesthetics, it's all the same concept at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, buying like a, you know, you back in the day, you could buy a digital ringtone. That's the same exact thing for like, you know, this is like 20 years ago, people were doing that.
Bird
like,
is the word.
Yes. Bird is the word. I mean, good
there's
point.
A whole thing like YouTubers sell like voice notes, right? Like they sell voice notes to fans. Like that's a thing that people do.
Yeah.
I know.
Even I what Cameo, that's a big thing right now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's the same thing as an NFT. The, it's a digital product.
The thing with the NFT stuff, and this is what I've always maintained, I'm like, the technology could be really awesome for people who are like, who want to own their digital shit. Like, you know, I can imagine one day down the road, like if I'm buying like a piece of software instead of a license key, like I have it linked to a blockchain that I own and they'll never hassle me for that. Then I think that's kind of cool, right? Like, I think that has like a purpose to it. It's just got to be more viable and like, you know, it's just got to be something that's like, not a massive computational hit, you know, entirely as it currently is to an extent. As long as you can have like, as long as you can have the technology be functional and, you know, optimized, I think it can be great when it, like right now, obviously the people taking advantage of it are like the scammers, but once the regulations kick in and everything, I think the technology can be like a little cleaned up and used better. And I was just looking at this thing you posted, Max, by the way, Meet Polar, a metaverse board singer, dancer, and influencer. She's got 1.6 million followers on TikTok and 500,000 on her YouTube channel. That's fucking
insane.
She has
ambitions to perform in the real world. And then look at the top reply, picture of like Hatsune Miku. You know, like the Vocaloid, the first
yeah.
like 46,000 likes, like ratioing it to Oblivion.
Well, it's interesting when I look at this kind of stuff because it's like, what's going to happen to us at some point, right? Like, when do you think we're going to have, like, somebody in our side of the community be completely digital AI, like, one, you know,
this,
like, one-to-one?
But I don't think this is a completely digital AI either. I think it's just a VTuber, right? Like,
I've been around with something lately. I've been like, I want to see like how lazy can a creator get. Like, I was just wondering how much of my videos can I record, edit, produce an entire video just in AI?
Dude,
like,
talk to Quibbletop. He's been figuring out how to make the laziest content for the longest time, and he's proud of it. Like, if he can make a nine-minute video.
Didn't he say that he had an AI already?
He says he has an AI called
but I don't
Blue
know.
That runs its own channel.
It doesn't. Yeah. There's no way.
But.
Like, he's got some NASA-grade level artificial intelligence cluster that's just literally there to make YouTube videos.
And it's not racist and anti-Semitic like all the other AIs that they release on the internet?
God damn it.
I love those. I love the 4chan AI and shit whenever they release that. Like, nothing
commentary
would get me...
YouTubers are just AI.
Well, nothing gets me, like, wilder, though, when I see, like these AI stories, like the Google one where they thought it went sentient, but it was just really good at like linguistic processing. But then I remember when they had like the Microsoft Tay AI and Microsoft was like, let's just release this AI to Twitter. And the 4chan people came in and within like 24 hours turned it into a Nazi.
And what do these people expect? Seriously, what do they expect to happen?
It's like they publish shit to the internet. They got to understand that most people are not going to sit there like tweeting back at the AI and it's like trying to like, you know, teach it. Like, you know, it's just going to get hijacked by a like actual like, Like, it's gonna get hijacked by 4chan and they're just gonna like make it.
It's gonna get hijacked by a single streamer. A single streamer with like 1,000 viewers. He's gonna tell all of his viewers to go bother the AI and it's gonna mold into something and that'll be it.
We are gonna get to that point though, with what you're talking about, Muda, where there's gonna be like AI generated YouTubers. I can already see it happening a little bit. There's this true crime channel that I watch now and then. It's not JCS, so don't get any ideas, but they're similar to JCS, and I'm like 99% sure that it's narrated at least by a very close to real, like, text-to-speech bot. And I know, think...
You think you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think the way they did it is... Because some of their earlier videos, it sounds like they're talking. Mm-hmm. I think they purchased some technology and, like, trained the bot to talk like them and, like, gave it enough input that it gets close. There are still little moments where the voice will clip and it will sound weird. And it's not an audio edit thing. It's, like, in the pronunciation of words. And you can tell it doesn't have quite enough data to be 100%. But it almost passes the Turing test. And in that way, it's like very interesting.
Well, that's one of the things that I'm working on at home in the cluster downstairs. I'm trying to make like a bot that can like actually synthesize speech with the inflections. And I'm only doing it, again, the only reason I'm doing it sounds really stupid. So you know how Christine Chandler has all her letters from prison?
Yes.
Well, I want to make a video where I want to like cover the prison letters, but I want to make her narrate it all. So that's why I'm literally getting the bot to synthesize the speech and just have it narrate for me. But it's something that's like become a reality. Like there's plenty of projects on the internet. There's plenty of projects. I know one art was talking to me about and it was like, I think it's like you pay them $1,000 a year or something, like $1,800. And they'll like synthesize your speech with the inflection and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great for people who just want like an ADR, or like, you know, just voiceover for something.
I wish there were AI bots controlling Twitter, because I don't think they would have come up with hashtag Vorday, which is trending right now. And it's all about
trending.
Lots of pregnant dragons. Yes, true story.
I think we have different Twitters.
It's trending right
now. I'm seeing it too. Holy.
Yeah.
What? We logged into PyroCynical's Twitter again.
Bro, what can I say? I see it. Vorday. Vorday just shows up.
Yeah, no, I see it. Hashtag happy Vorday. Yeah, we got a thing going on.
We gotta get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, we have to absolutely get to the bottom.
I'm gonna pull my shit out.
Do it, bro.
I don't see before that.
For science.
Pregnant ass.
Oh, yeah, I said I would.
Yo.
Well, I just saw somebody else getting hit with copyright strikes. Jesus Christ. I don't know how, like, this is the one thing that always sucks about it, too. It's like, I don't even know how to help out somebody with, like, copyright strike issues, because it happens, like, every other day. Like, this one chick named Lady Decade used, like, 4 seconds of somebody's video and she got hit with DMCA stuff.
Dude, it's
girl,
so bad. So,
fight it back.
Yeah. Someone reached out to
contest
me.
It.
They're scared to they paid an artist for their VTuber rig thing and they're scared to launch because the artist is now extorting them saying that they didn't like pay them enough or whatever and they're going to copyright strike them whenever they launch. And like, what are you going to do? Because YouTube is going to listen.
I mean, that sucks. In my experience, I think the best thing you can do is unless you're pretty sure that the, you know, person on the other end is going to take you to court, I mean, you may as well just file an appeal, file a counter notification, go through the whole process,
like,
and it will suck,
new,
but within 30 days,
true,
you will have what you
for
want.
For a new, like, creator just launching, it's really, really scary, because you have to fill it in,
I mean,
you have
it
to
sucks.
Put in your name and your info and your address and all that stuff, and,
especially in the past when people have actually been like doxxed through it too. Like they've given up their information and somebody else magically gets that information in the other sphere. I'm not naming names, but I covered a video regarding some tech YouTubers where it seemed really fishy how one person got the, you know what I mean? Like, cause you basically for a DMCA strike, you're part of a legal proceeding, give up your name and address and everything. And for me, like when it comes to a DMCA thing, I don't like, at this point, like, I don't do it myself. It's always, like, under a lawyer's name, and it's always done through, like, a different address. It's not my home address. So I never end up giving my personal information. I'm like, here's, like, a business, like, lawyer. Like, talk to him, talk to them. That's it. Like,
yeah, I do the same thing. I do the same thing. Because I feel like a lot of
trolls.
There's a lot of it people just trying to get your personal information.
A lot of it is trolls, and I think a lot of it also is there's these companies that go around that don't actually own the content, but they claim so many videos, and some people, like... they just won't fight back. Like they won't even notice it, or they won't even try because I think there's nothing they can do. And so they'll end up accumulating a lot of revenue by claiming a bunch of videos across the board.
It used to be way worse when I started out back in 2012. Like I remember just like any gaming video that I have, like MTV Lebanon was jumping in down my throat. And I was like, wait a minute. So you guys own like random creepypasta fucking video games? I'm like, hold on a minute. Wait, I need to know this. I like at that point, I was like, Nux is right. Like, when you're a new guy starting out, shit's scary as hell. Because you're like, maybe they could own this footage. Maybe it is something that belongs
maybe
to them.
Maybe they'll
do
take
I really
me to court.
Want to get into
like,
a
yeah. The fear is there. Yeah. And also it says, like, you know, disputing a copyright claim wrongly could cause the termination of your channel. Like, you know, YouTube says that also. Yeah. So, and no,
oh, dude, the wording is
no one,
so
no one's a professional when it comes to fair use. No one knows exactly what's going on. Like, everyone's terrified.
Yeah.
And it's
I mean, it's scary situation
YouTube's
to be letting yourself
into.
Because
YouTube is really, really hands-off. Like, they'll say, listen, mm-hmm. you want to fight with them? That's totally fine. You can fight with them in court. We want nothing to do with it. And it's really scary.
Did you guys see recently this Mama Max versus the commentary community type shit?
I don't know. I saw his...
Yeah. It's like all my friends that are fighting him right now. All my buddies.
I am so obviously being biased here. Max is a very close friend of mine. It was completely unexpected to see him. So something that I really don't like about current day, like, internet commentary shit in general, or like anybody on the internet, is like, I feel like, A, everyone takes a big side. Like, there's like some clicky bullshit now where, like, you have to be part of a community. You have to be part of a certain side. And also, you know, it's kind of just like, I feel like a lot of takes nowadays are done to be a contrarian, you know? Like, everyone just has to, like, be against somebody. Like, you know what I mean? It's, like, just a weird scenario where, like, you have to be against somebody, or you're, like, you're taking a side or whatever. And it's just, like, so for me on the internet, like, I have one simple rule. I'm, like, I think all people that are, like, child, you know, offenders, you know, probably should be locked up, sent to jail, all that shit, you know what I mean? Throw away the key. I don't think that that's a bad take to have. But nowadays, you come across a few people that are like, well, maybe you're being a little pedophobic, Buddha. And I'm like, hold on a second. You can't
That's
use that
word?
Whole fucking phrase
oh,
around me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm like, like, so
I am pedophobic.
Yeah. Like, I'm on the internet and like, okay, so there's like this debate about like, okay, here's my biggest red flag. Like, when I'm talking to somebody and I ask you, what's the age of consent? What do you think about the age of consent? Their answer, in my opinion, should be like, that's it, or 17, or whatever the legal age is. But when you're going like 17, but let's talk about the history of age of consent around
no,
the entire
no, like,
world. I'm like, all right.
When you
at this
say,
point,
listen, before
nah.
answering, you do realize that age of consent is a social construct, and it's like, well, you know,
under communism, we don't need age of consent. Okay, there's no exploitation under communism.
No, it's,
that's what we really need to think about.
It's so wild when you talk to these people. It's like, I feel like we went so bad, like, regressively. Because we're at a point where, like, I would say 4 years ago, we were like, yeah, fuck all pedophiles, right? Like, yeah,
we reached a consensus. Like, we reached, like, a point where everyone was in agreement. Yeah,
yeah, we were exactly. Dude. We were all agreeing that this was wrong. And nowadays, it's like, you know, don't be, yeah. you know, it's...
As soon as maps and stuff like that and like, the pedo thing becomes, like, normal and really widely defended, and you can't just say pedophiles suck, like, and are bad all the time, no matter what. Like, if you're attracted to people who are under the age of 18, and you're not, like, you know,
it's not messed up,
and you're it's not like doing something about it and trying to rewire your brain in some way, and you're not accepting that that is a terrible, horrible thing, like, regardless of what you believe, then I will definitely leave the internet at that point. I believe if the ivory tower is that fucking,
yeah,
just closed off from reality, I will no longer be on,
like,
the internet.
I'm done out of the internet at that point. Like, if we get to a point exactly yeah. where it's like, you know, guys, we should be more accepting, I'm like, nah. Not on my watch.
No.
I understand being blackpilled about that kind of thing, though, but I don't think we'll get to that point, thankfully. I think we'll stray away. Yeah. There's enough like normal, like, sane people that there would be a lot of pushback to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That being said, you know, once in a while you do see that kind of stuff. I make a lot of videos about those kinds of people. One of them I remember was Amos Yee, who you guys may remember him a few years ago on YouTube. And I made a video about him, and, you know, for the audience, basically he was a dude who was arguing against the age of consent a lot, and surprise, surprise, he ended
being
up
being a pedophile,
being caught grooming, being a pedophile, exactly, grooming like a 14-year-old
like
girl.
A lot of people
and he's
start
in jail.
Off with, like, you know, this is just like, I'm playing devil's advocate here, okay? Devil's advocate, age of consent,
yeah.
And it gets really scary.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they test the waters. It's like, you know, to give a more normal example of how someone would do that, it's like in a social situation. Let's say you're a fan of edgy humor, right? Let's say you like making jokes, but you don't know if everyone around you will appreciate that. You don't want to upset mm-hmm. anyone. So with each group of people you meet, with each person you meet, you test the waters a little bit to see how they react to it, right? These people use the same logic, but they use it for, you know, kids. So they try to test the waters to see how the people around them will feel about subjects like that. And that's what he did a lot. Now he's locked up, but I remember when I made that video, I had a bunch of people talking about it. They were like, you know, I think what he did was bad, but now that I see his whole life story, I think maybe he shouldn't be locked up. You know, maybe he doesn't deserve to go to jail for trying to 14-year-old girl at like 23 years of age. And I was like, all right, I don't really know what to say.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how to debate you on that. We'll have to really
I don't even know how I can like address that. Yeah. Is there anything I can say to this person that's going
to
convince them?
Is there like an immediate submit this to the FBI like tip line? Like, is that button available? Because maybe we need to.
That should be a right click on your browser.
I feel like that would be a great plugin, though. Like, there's some sussy ass shit that I see on Twitter all the time. And, you know, to me, like, one of the things that's like, there was a 2 years ago, I did make content around those people too. I made it around like social media trends. So like Twitter has this biggest problem ever. Where, like people are sharing it under like hashtags. Like they're like, hey, here's hashtag, like, you know, whatever.
So they can sort it and like,
yeah.
Find it
so
easily.
You click onto it and it's like, and it always leads to like Dropbox folders, Google Drive folders, where within like a minute you can find this content and get it. And for me, it was like, I covered it. I was like, this is like really disgusting. Twitter should look into it. And for a while, they kind of, it was kind of like it was kind of hushed under the rug. I guess they shut down the trend. And then, you know, a year later, it came back into it. But what was interesting about the comments to it is it's like 95% of them were like, yeah, this is disgusting. Actually, 99% of them were like, this is disgusting and gross. But you'd always find the one person and it's like, what if they're non-offending? And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean by non-offending, bro? Like, what kind of weird ass?
How would we even know?
Yeah, right? Like
how it just seems like to even want to begin to justify something like that, there's something wrong with you.
Well,
there's something wrong with you.
I've been told that I sound like an Andrew Tate, like, right-wing nut job when I say it like this. Because I always tell them, I'm like, listen, this is the reason why I don't really fuck with porn or anything, right? And this is personal experience, right? I always find that when it comes to pornography or anything, the results, the searches that you make get progressively more f***ed up.
Yeah.
Over time. That's what I felt like I was doing, right? Like, it went from like...
That's my theory as to why people develop these like really fetishes for whatever, you know? Because they like... Because getting off at that point for them isn't even just like the act of sex. It's like increasing like taboo.
And I think no one starts off with like a BDSM fetish. No one starts there.
Yeah.
Okay? That's already once you've dipped your toe in the water.
Yeah, like when your search results go from like the most normal thing to like water sports and like BDSM and shit like that, maybe you need to like reassess.
Not saying that there's anything wrong with any of that, but let's be honest, it didn't start there. Like it progressed.
Yeah, like for me it's like drugs, right? Like, okay, when you take like a little bit of marijuana, right? Like if I do a bong rip with a friend, I pass out after one rip, you know, like I'm done, like I'm going to bed, right? But when he does a rip, he's doing rips every 15, 20 minutes and not feeling a thing. So obviously there's resistances, there's levels to this shit. To me, it's like porn to me is like a drug. It always has been like a drug. It's a complete like actual like it can take over somebody's life because when you look at the whole science behind it, anybody that does like pornography, like anybody that consumes it, it's hitting the same centers in your head that like cocaine does or like any of those like hard drugs. So obviously, like, I'm not saying that you should never, ever watch porn. Like, I'm not one of those crazy, you know, nut jobs. Hey, live your life the way you want to live it. But if you ever feel like you need to constantly partake in something and you're addicted to it, that's when you should stop. So when I think of, like, people who are defending the child stuff on the internet, I'm like, so you're just, like, you're defending it first. But you're it's like what's next for you? You know, it's like the people that watch the lowly stuff, like the anime that's, like, centered around underage kids.
Yeah,
and it's such a hot take. Like, I'll make like
it's
one
crazy.
Tweet
it's
about
such
it. I'm like
a
the lolicon.
Hot take.
Yeah, it's like the lolicon starter pack. And for me, it's always like a cop car and like handcuffs and shit. Right? I'm like, that's how it begins. That's where it's probably going to end to. And then I always get into this discussion. I'm like, wait a minute. So you're watching these like animated characters that are under the age of 18, right? For like gratifying yourself. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, so where does it go from there? Are you going to just stick to this? Or at some point is your fetish going to evolve to a point where
so I really,
trying to get
like,
off?
This whole discussion is like, it gets so weird when you actually hear people with opposing viewpoints. Because then it's like, okay.
You probably get a lot of it because you're like an anime guy.
Dude, I get so much of it. It's so annoying. Because you have...
Is that what he is?
I'd say he's an anime guy. I would describe him that way. Ascension. The anime guy. He's like
right
a cartoon.
Okay,
he looks
right
like Japanese of some kind. Straight out of Tokyo, that kind of thing.
True. I'm an anime character. I've never been into any controversies. None of that. Tom could tell you. He's researched them. Zero controversies.
Totally clean. Zero
N-bombs
in your career.
But that's true. You've researched and you've not found a single N-bomb. That's huge.
I've not found a single, which I was hoping to find, but unfortunately I did not
find it. He found N-bombs on people that tried to cancel me, though. So, but anyway, not the point. What was they saying? Oh yeah,
which is when I took their side because I saw
that they were based.
Well, you get a lot of shit about lowly stuff on the internet.
Yeah, you lowlies.
Yeah, lowlies. I've been canceled by lowlies.
Wait, what?
SMA.
No, but you get a lot of shit on them because you're an anime adjacent.
You get it on all sides because then you'll have people saying, well, it's true, she looks like a loli, but she's really 9,000 years old. That's not a problem at all. But on the flip side, there's this character that's you know, in anime, and she's 15, and she looks like she's 30, right? But she's 15, so who's the pedophile now? It's like you get into that discussion.
Well, it's so weird, like, so there's been, like, it's been a discussion in, like, the political sphere for a while, like, on fringe politics. Like, if you go to, like, the Destiny, like, Vosh, and, like, you know, the Hassan side of the internet, it's like, it's come up. It's literally been, like, a discussion point between people, and I'm like, I just don't know how we can, as a society, like, even entertain this discussion, you know? It's like...
Yeah, well, where does it get, like, what good does it do?
Yeah.
And even just me, I'm now a single man for the first time. Like, I had a girlfriend for 10 years, from the time I was 15 till now, 25 years old.
God damn.
10 years. God damn. Never got married, and then just said, you bitch, and then knocked her out of my house. It didn't punch her or anything, but I did physically remove her from my home. No, I didn't. That sounds really bad.
That's trad as fuck. Andrew Tate really has been influencing you.
Literally right after you talked to Andrew Tate interview,
we broke up. It had nothing to do with that.
No.
How did that come up? Did she mention that to you? She'd be like, one day with Tate and you're already kicking me out.
No. I have been making that joke a lot, though. But
you hit her up. You're like, babe, you got to get on webcam right now. You got to get on webcam.
Give me 80%.
I need you on chat.
80%.
The man is really entertaining.
Exactly.
Andrew Tate. He really is.
He really is, yeah. But anyways, what I was going to say is, like, even now, like, I've talked to people who are, like, 20, right? 5 years younger than me, okay? Still well above the age of 18. And I have this much in common with them. Nothing at all. I don't speak to them and even know what to say. I don't even know how to talk to people who are, like, younger than me, really, because there's such, like, a – especially because I was homeschooled anyway, so I have, like, a very, like, old kind of, like, old man mindset anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And did, like, I just don't understand, like, a lot of the stuff people relate to. All of my cartoons that I watched were, like, in the 80s. So people talk about in the 2000s and 90s. And I'm like, I don't even know what the this stuff is. So,
yeah,
I just,
there's this big trend of, like, YouTubers being, I'm sure, you know, outed for, like, borderline pedo stuff, like 2016, 2015. And it's like, okay, maybe they don't need to be locked up forever, but I do just, like, I want to get inside their head and be like, I'm 20 now. Yeah. Right. Or I'm not even 20. I'm about to be 20. I can't imagine trying to be friends with a 15-year-old. But, like, they just seem they're so stupid.
Yeah, it's not the same.
What are we going to talk about? Like, I have nothing in common with them.
Things to an extent, Tom, you've been on YouTube for many years now. Okay, you've been making videos about this. Your moral principles are developed to a point because if you're making moral arguments, you have to have moral principles. And as a commentary YouTuber, you have to have some sort of principles to base your opinions
on. You're right. That age thing kind of blurs a bit.
Okay? If you had never really considered it, never really thought about it, you'd be 20, you'd meet a 17-year-old, you don't know what would happen.
Yeah, I mean, that I don't think is the worst thing in the world, 20 and 17. I just mean, generally speaking,
my thing,
like,
with it is, like,
you know, let's say,
like,
early high school,
I'm 20,
I don't get it.
I'm 28 now. I could never see myself dating somebody below 25. You know, 26.
Yeah, that's
because for me, it's like I need somebody, like, in my generational
22 or 23. But for me, but like the another thing is, like, that the whole, like, age difference too. I was 15. My girlfriend was 18 when we started dating, and, like, so when I was 17, she was almost 21. Right, she's 3 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
She was about to be 20. So, and I've brought that up to people, and they're like, huh? But, like, I graduated high school when I was 15 years old. So I was already in college when she was in college. So it's like but that's obviously not the same thing as a lot of the situations on the internet. But I'll see some stuff like that, and I'm like, yeah, that's literally what I did. But in reverse.
Yeah, I mean, context matters for sure. I think a lot of that is you have a lot of, you know, a lot of the people online, like, let's say with Call Me Carson, right? My understanding, it was 19 and 17 there, and people were calling him a groomer or whatever. I think most of the people calling him that were younger.
Yeah.
I think the way I think about it
is, like, when you're 12, a 13-year-old seems so much older.
Yes.
Because you only have 12 years versus when you're, like, you know, 20, it's you know, a 20 to 21-year-old is not a big difference. You're, like, the same
Carson
person.
Was a whole different
and so there's a huge amount of life experience there.
I feel like Carson got blasted because he told his friends he feels like a bad person. And then his friends were like, oh, what do I do? I can't like collab and be friendly with this guy who's basically told me he's a pedophile. So Carson, I think, got a bad rap, like, yeah, just because he got in his own head and his friends didn't know the situation and it just got huge and he ran away. I don't know.
His whole thing was really dumb.
I feel like that drama was very unfortunate.
Yeah, for me, when I saw the whole Call Me Carson show, I'm like, this is something that I would see in high school myself, like senior and like, you know, sophomore, freshman type shit. So it's like, I don't understand, like, I think the word groomer has kind of lost a bit of its efficacy on the internet, because
I definitely understand it, yeah, like where people are coming from. But at the same time, like old Tom said there, context is very important.
Mm-hmm. Danny situation. Yeah.
Every word has had that weird like stretching effect on the internet. Like,
I've been doing YouTube, especially like for buzzwords a long time. Like that. I have never ever talked to anything sexual with any fans at all. Like I have never wanted to. I've never like I've always stayed away from it. It was just never in my realm of possibility.
Yeah. The thing is I used to think that way. I used to think like, okay, that's super cringy. But Destiny actually, who Buddha mentioned, made a decent argument for this on stream and it made me think. So usually the way you would meet a partner or make a relationship would be like, let's say you're a normal person, mm-hmm, you're not a YouTuber. You meet them through school or work, right? Which is where these people, yeah, spend all their time, right? They meet them through school work, you know, in class, friends, meet a girl, like start a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of that stuff. If you spend all of your time on the internet, then it's not surprising to me that YouTubers would start dating their fans, honestly, because it's just, it's where you spend literally all of your time. And then, you know, obviously there's the argument of like the power dynamic thing, which I think is pretty stupid, personally. Once you get to a certain point, it's like there's a power dynamic in every relationship, right? Like, you know, for all of time, rich men or successful men have liked dating women who maybe are not necessarily rich or not, as you know, necessarily as successful. And that's just, you know, a natural thing. I don't think that's necessarily a horrible, mm-hmm, imbalance in a relationship.
Yeah.
That being said, careful where you put your kiddos. You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I definitely feel like the power dynamic thing too. Like it is possible for the male. If it is like a power issue, the guy or the person we're speaking of, like us, we're all men in this scenario. If the man has the potential to really make it a power dynamic issue, you know, if his ego is out of control, right? He's a fucking absolute insane person. But generally, sure, most people, especially in our circles, are seemingly intelligent enough to realize that they're just normal people who just are very fortunate, yeah, and have great jobs.
Right.
So I feel like the
that's just like an ego problem point.
Yeah.
You know?
That's, yeah, yeah. I think you could have that. I mean, there's like abusers that aren't rich, and that's a power dynamic, right? Because there's a certain, I don't know how to really explain it.
I think the power dynamic issue comes from like the age, yeah, you know, or like the difference in life experience or whatever, not necessarily from just the fact that, you know, one person has money, one person drives the Beamer, one person drives the Lexus, one person doesn't. It doesn't matter that much. One person drives the Stang GT. Not looking at anyone in particular in the call. And the other person doesn't.
One person, no. But the thing with the power dynamic shit, and I've talked about this with my girlfriend too, it's like, in a relationship, you're always going to have, like, a dominant partner on something, right? On some facet, right? Like, it's going to happen. And sometimes you can't really control that. Like, when I look at the incel community, for instance, right? Like, the, you know, the people on the internet who are like, we should... like a lot, like they bring out the Jordan Peterson shit nowadays where it's like we should just like force monogamy, like keep people away. Like, you know what I mean, like insane talking points of that nature.
Yeah.
And they're always like, all girls want are like good looking guys and with a lot of money. I'm like, don't guys do that too though? Like when I go out into the market and I date somebody, I'm not dating somebody just, you know, I'm dating somebody on a million principles, right? Obviously physical attractiveness, obviously like are they mentally insane or not, do they have their shit together, you know, like that. I'm always looking at every factor there, right? So for me, it's like when I look at those situations, I'm like, of course women are going to look at guys the same way too. What kind of girl is going to date a guy that hasn't got their shit together, right? What kind of guy is going to date a woman that doesn't have their shit together? I'm like, what you're describing here are people that have worked hard in their life that are able to decide who their mate's going to be, right? Like that's pretty much what it is. And I tell everyone this, I'm like, listen, not everyone in the world is entitled to or dick or anything of that nature, right? Like you're not just given it. Yeah, exactly. Nobody's entitled to it. That's
bruh.
So I'm like, listen, if you're
based, still based.
Like my thing is, I'm like, if you die alone and a virgin, well, that's on you. Okay. That's not on the rest of the world. That's you. Okay. Like you fucking caused it to yourself. Like, I'm sorry to say, like, yeah. I'm not in this camp where I think every man should be like given a girlfriend waifu, you know, at the age of 18. Dog, yeah. You gotta put in the work for it. Simple as that. And
government issue, exactly. GF.
Like you get a bunch of these guys who are like, no girl wants to date me. I'm like, okay, first off, how old are you? And then they'll tell you they're like 19. I'm like, okay, so you're 19 years of age and you're already calling it quits. I'm like, slap yourself in the face, get your shit together, and go out and date somebody when you're like, you know, when you're a little bit more adjusted.
I think you're the first 19-year-old that hasn't gotten pussy.
Like, you're exactly. The first one. Like, you're like, dude, at your age, I was working my ass off. I wasn't out there, you know, slaying pussy every day. That wasn't my thing. Like, I was out there trying to get my shit together, you know? Like, it is what it is. But, you know, you find all these guys, yeah. And it's this new culture that, and again, we mentioned Andrew Tate, but it's like, we laugh at Andrew Tate.
They're
shit.
The prey.
That's who the prey for Andrew Tate is, those guys, right? Like, I'd say everyone in this call here has had a significant life experience. Like, we all understand how this shit works. We all understand, like, hey, we got to get our shit together. Like, life is more deeper than these, like, you know, arbitrary nonsenses. But when I look at Andrew Tate, it's like, you're right. Like, no, so that's the prey. Like, that's the side. Like, those are the people that he tries to put into the, I guess, so to speak, pipeline, if you will. And I hate using that word. But that's where the prey is. Like, we all laugh at Andrew Tate, but we also got to remember, like, there's for every one of us that for every one of us that laughs, there's
the most
Googled 10 guys that are like,
in the world, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Now. Like that.
I mean, he's pretty famous. He came out of nowhere. Surprising.
You look him up on Google Trends. He's like more than Mr. Beast, more than like Biden, more than Kim Kardashian. Like I think he's the most Googled person right now.
Jesus.
Dude, he's the most. Like it's like literally if you gave 4chan like a human body and you just let them go on the internet and be who they are. And it's like, to an extent, like, well, the thing that gets me is like, we live in such a world now where, like I said earlier, everyone has to take a side, right? Like, for me, I look at Andrew Tate and I may not agree with like 90% of his takes, but when Andrew Tate tells you to get your shit together, eat right, you know, live your, like, is that really bad advice? Even if it's coming from Andrew Tate, like, if Andrew Tate told me tomorrow, it's like, hey, yeah. Here's how you get in shape. Have you seen Andrew Tate? Yeah, I take advice from him. He looks like he knows a few things about that. You know, like, I think he knows, like, when he talks about things, and I've always said this to guys, I'm like, he'll have like a cogent argument and then he just redlines into misogyny. So if you can like, if you can take his point before the misogyny, you could probably learn something from it. But as soon as he redlines it into like, yeah, women are property, all that shit.
It's so funny. You know. Like he... Yeah. I feel like the skeleton of his argument is good, but then like he just goes to extremes. Yeah,
the
like,
packaging is very
better at some things, and women are better at other things. Like for example, women can't catch a ball. What? It's like, you know, just
yeah. I saw this one clip of like him.
Base department.
I wouldn't want a man to deliver my baby. It's like, okay, dude, you know.
Sometimes he'll have like conversations, and this is how his argument works. Like, I remember watching one clip of him like talking to this one dude, and it's like, have you ever seen a Chinese person working for another Chinese person? And the guy was like, yeah. And he's like, okay, anyways, moving on to the next point. Like, his whole point got demolished right there. And then
I heard him say, have you ever seen a bald Chinese guy? And I was like, what the f-?
I was like, yeah.
Because he's right. You know?
I've seen him a few times.
Shocking.
No, his.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I actually.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead. I was just saying that on the note of him working out, Oompaville. I don't know. I might have sent this to you. I can't remember, but I watched this podcast clip where Andrew said that, you know, make of this what you will. He said he no longer works out, but how does he stay in such great shape? Well, he said that he dreams about working out, and that convinces his body to develop muscle mass.
No way. Did he
so
say that?
So he stays in great shape. He said that, yeah.
He said that to me.
He's fucking trolling so hard.
Yeah, you got to send that. I'm putting that into the tape video. That's so good. That is a great
working
point.
Working out dream.
I saw one that he says he does like 12,000 push-ups a day or some shit like that.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is called Andrew Tate Dreams in His Sleep.
Depression only exists if you believe it exists. You know, it's like the Game of Thrones lines, power resides.
Yeah, don't be depressed.
He's like, bro, if you're afraid of depression, you'll be depressed. Just like if you're afraid of me, I'll kill you. It's like, okay, good example.
Yeah. In a way, I do, you know, one of the things he first got shit for, his takes on depression. And in a way, I agreed with what he was saying, because he was basically saying, like, a lot of people will be depressed and not improve their own circumstances to not be depressed.
That's what I'm
saying. There is some truth to that. You do have a lot of that.
are good. And then the packaging is just like, okay, depression doesn't exist, which is fake. It's biologically proven. It's hereditary.
Yeah. Right. How can it be hereditary? But then the argument becomes no one would... But then the argument is like, well, if he didn't package it that way, no one would pay attention.
That's right.
Like, we wouldn't even know who he is. Because
of the packaging. But that doesn't make the packaging any less garbage.
Yeah. For me, Andrew Tate is like what happens when a character from GTA 5 escapes into reality. Because that's it. Like, Andrew Tate's unironically the guy you'd listen to in, like, GTA's radio stations. You know, like, all the parody radio stations that they have in GTA, like, the parody radio, like, talk shows? Mm-hmm. Andrew Tate is, like, 100% what you'd expect in it. But he said he, like, dimensional merged into reality, and that's what we have now. Like, he's...
I watched the Nelk.
He's brought into it.
The Nelk.
They should just put him in the next game. Like, he's perfect. He's, like, rich. He fucks a lot of girls. He's, like, mixed race, so he's currently in, like, the, you know... What do you call it? Zeitgeist or whatever the internet wants to hear, you know? He should be in the
GTA
next
6
game.
Doesn't it have a female protagonist?
No, it's not confirmed. It's not confirmed. That whole argument was like...
If it does, he would never be in that
I
game.
He could be a good antagonist.
Yeah, exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
I see.
Yeah, he could constantly remind the female protagonist about how much he can't join the life. Yeah, he could...
I'm imagining videos of people driving perfectly with him, like, in the radio. Like, you cannot drive! You cannot drive! You bitch!
God, no, I remember when that news came out about GTA 6. So, like, so apparently the Rockstar company, like, the company Rockstar, like, fixed up its, like, you know, issues in the company. Like, they became more mature, you know what I mean? Like, as any multi-billion dollar company does, right? Like, and they were like, well, the company culture got woke, so the entire game must be woke. And then it's such a weird argument when I hear the woke shit. Because I'm like... You know,
this
in a way,
Tom's
South Park is all
my... with a camera. He's losing it. Making faces.
Well, like the thing with
sorry,
the woke
I had
stuff
a soy
is
face
like
real quick.
When you're looking into like South Park, for instance, right, which I think is written satire and parody pretty well, considering they've been on for over 20 fucking years. They've always been like a woke crowd of people. You know, I mean, technically woke in the sense that if we're basically using the word woke to effectively just mean left leaning. Sure, yeah, to an extent we can probably say the South Park guys were middle-left guys, you know? And same thing with Rockstar. Like, if you played any of their older GTA titles, they were always riffing on this, you know, they were always riffing on both sides completely, right? Like, I loaded up GTA San Andreas the other day, and I opened up the talk show, and the talk show was, like, all about these right-wing nutjobs who were, like, talking about, like, fucking wearing tinfoil hats and conspiracies and all that. And I'm like, you know, it's funny, because, like, I'm listening to this as a parody from a game in 2005, but it became reality in 2022, you know, like this game basically predicted the finale of Alex Jones, right? Like, you know, to the point where we're at now. So
speaking
every time
of
I see
Alex
those articles,
Jones, Muda, I have been waiting for this moment. I know you're sick right now, so I have a nice little juicy piece of news for you that I think you'll enjoy. Did you know Alex Jones is on his trial right now? Like the whole defamation thing?
Yeah, $45 million.
Did you know that his lawyer accidentally
sent
a
whole
copy
of his
phone?
Do you guys think that was done on purpose? So I actually feel like that was a purposeful thing by the attorney.
Nobody's that stupid. You can't make a mistake like that. And the funniest thing was like they called him up on like as a witness. And then he asks him like a simple yes or no question. Like, did you receive this text? By the way, I have your phone. And he's like,
See, like, Alex Jones is one of those people where I kind of put him in the same tier of Andrew Tate. Like, I always laughed at Alex Jones shit. You know what I mean? When he's, like, telling you about the frogs being gay and everything. Yeah. I think everyone's laughed at that, right? Because it's just, like, it's extreme over-the-top shit when he tells you about, like, you know, religious robots taking, like, satanic robots taking over the government. Sure. Like, how can you not laugh at
that? It's the gay, evil, liberal agenda, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, he's like a... insane version of Quantum TV, except on, you know, national level, you know, appearances. But I look at that and I'm like, I laugh at it, but then I remember there's like 10 people who are like, yeah, shit, this Alex guy, he's on to something.
Dude, that's why the Nelk podcast is so good, by the way. Slight tangent. That's why the Nelk podcast is great. Because, like, I don't know. The average IQ in that room is definitely in double digits, like, without a doubt, okay?
And what are you talking about? You're talking about.
They had Andrew Tate, and
they had him on, right?
The reason why the government gave women the ability to have jobs is so that they can't raise their children, so their children can be brain controlled by schools, which are pushing an agenda. And the Nelk guys are like, whoa, oh my god, that's amazing.
And the podcast is like, oh, yeah,
give us some, where's the cocaine?
They're like, yo, that's great.
You guys want to know who the most red pilled based individual of all time is?
I'm ready.
Gary Busey. Oh.
Gary Busey.
Yeah, what? Gary Busey.
I just put
actor.
A link in chat of a moment with Gary. Sorry. I've been watching the show called I'm with Busey, and there's the Busey Zone as well. A couple of TV shows. He had a severe accident on a motorcycle in the 90s, and it fucked his head up real bad. And this clip is only available on Vimeo now. They erased it from YouTube. I don't know why. I think it's because he's right about what he's talking about in this.
You want to share your screen? And
yeah, let me. I'll share my screen. We can. All right, here we go. Can you guys hear it now?
Yes.
Oh yeah, we can.
Middle Earth.
Framed very well, the shot.
A land that's great to visit, but you have to know how to get out. They can see and hear things we can't hear, because Middle Earth has a different kind of electronic.
What the fuck?
And physical and mental. Can you travel in packs of four? Because you never know what happens.
What the fuck is he talking about?
I'm getting some like transgender vibes, some Hobbit. I like it.
To the T. They make a point without making it. Because that's what a Hobbit does. You might have been a Hobbit in past life. Let me know it. And we'll speak about Hobbitism.
What are we watching right now? What is this?
Dude, I think he was... I think he's... I can't even say if the man is high, because I think he's just on a different...
I think he's on to something.
I think he's on a different astral plane. Would you guys feel like you were hobbits?
Well, I think he had a severe... I think his brain fell out of his head in the 90s.
Well, I mean, like, there's one thing, your brain falling out of your head, and then, like, talking about, you know, hobbits and shit, and, like...
is there really that much of a difference, though?
His brain fell out. That's true. The truth fell out.
I would like to know what InfoWars' top billing host would think about that, actually, now after his trial is concluded. $45 million apparently has to cough up to, like, victims and shit.
It's real.
Is it going to be rolled back, though, you think? You think he's actually going to have to pay that?
So I think he's probably going to contest it, but I think there's actually law. I don't know exactly what the laws are called in the states, but I think they have to cap those to like some smaller amount. I think I heard somewhere that he's probably looking at like giving up maybe $700,000-$800,000. So I don't know why they do like these. There's like a cap on punitive damages from what I've heard, and it varies state by state. I don't know where his.
Does he have that much money?
I think he's worth $300 million.
Yeah, he's at $2 million on like on the court would be enough to ruin InfoWars, but apparently, like, I've been looking into the financials, and like there was a period where he's making like $800K a day.
Damn.
And
I was told that he's freaking out on... I haven't been watching InfoWars lately. I did used to. But I've been told that lately he's been on the air, and he's been freaking out about money, and he seems very frantic. So maybe he's not worth as much as he has claimed.
I mean,
the past.
Like, the thing is, unless we open up, like, InfoWars' financials, you'll never really know. But I think that, like, obviously, like, guys, $45 million, like, even if that's not all you have to pay in punitive damages, that's, like, fucking... For anybody, that's a big chunk of change. I think he's doing what I expect most people in the political like sphere to grift out of, is like whenever they get like a little bit canceled, they want to hype it up to the audience. So they like, you know, get a sales volume boost going on. It's like, hey guys, we're getting destroyed financially. Let's sell more vitamins and, you know, all this. Like, I think that's what's mostly happening. I think he's pretty set financially. Like, I've heard that he's worth somewhere into like the $200 million range. And that's the average. I heard the like lowest end was like $100 million.
Really?
I mean, given that he's one of the, given that he is in fact the largest figure in that extreme like far right space of conspiracies, doesn't seem that hard and far fetched to believe. I mean, for InfoWars, in order to run, like, I think they have to have their own like satellite. They have to basically do everything in house. Nobody works with InfoWars but just them. They do like everything in house. So I don't know. I think Alex Jones is fine financially. I'd have to read on the punitive damages. If it's like $45 million that he says he has to owe the families, but it gets whittled down to $700,000, and you know, whatever, who the fuck cares? Like, Alex Jones can clearly part with $700K. That's not a big issue. But time will tell, right? Like, I don't know if that's.
I think he should make a public apology.
Yeah, he should pull a Will Smith.
I think.
Yeah, but I mean, could you imagine an Alex Jones apology though?
Yeah, I could.
I mean, it's like, it would be amazing.
The frogs aren't actually a game.
Yeah.
I'm kind of retarded.
I love that clip, by the way. That clip always makes me laugh because he like stops Joe Rogan. He just like stops Joe Rogan. Joe,
I'm gonna have to level with you. I'm a little
like, goddamn, why? Why does he do this?
He didn't want anyone to talk over him for that line.
Give him that. No. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, before my throat completely gives out, I want to obviously route a lot of our audience over to Turkey Tom's amazing channel, Tom After Dark and Turkey Tom. Both absolutely brilliant channels. I'm not going to say commentary. I think it's just a good video. As internet culture stuff is more likely the topic. Yeah. So that if you accurate, enjoy content yeah. like that, definitely check out Tom. He's one of the last few ones with a little risque fat phobia left within him. I know that.
You know it.
Not a single word said.
Not a single word.
Obesity is just not something I tolerate personally. It's not something I tolerate. Oh my God, something I deal bro. With.
Hashtag hard style, hashtag Z's, hashtag Arnold.
Hashtag shredded. Hashtag bro.
This is definitely not an avocado friendly podcast for sure.
This is not.
But definitely also check out my amazing co-host and brothers, Nux Taku, at his beautiful YouTube channel where he talks about his chronicling of getting arrested. Absolutely real story, by the way.
True story.
Absolutely.
Did you see Fifi's tweet?
And check out Caleb.
Did you see what she's trying to start next? It was a response to your thing. She wants to fulfill her lifelong dream of getting pregnant and suing me and get that to trend. Please don't get that to trend, people.
I feel like that'd be the next big step for you. Hashtag Nux pay child support. I can't wait to see that happen.
No.
But check out
Hashtag Nux alimony.
That's gonna be fun.
Please no.
Honestly, if that
Hashtag Nux pay
if
up.
That trends, I'm paying for a billboard in Times Square just to like play that. Like just to play Nux at alimony. Like that's all it is. The alimony
this
tracker
is so
for you.
Bad. This is so
but
bad.
It's gonna happen. Like if Fifi could do that, I'll pay money for it.
No,
fuck.
No.
But
thank you. I don't know if you saw I got into beef with the anime guys again because to this week. There was a character in My Hero Academia that died in the manga, and I made a meme about him dying like 2.5 years ago as a fake spoiler, and he actually died. So everyone was so upset that I was right.
Jesus. It's like
it's a dimensional merge.
Report your death,
it's a dimensional merge, bro. it's even larger than you think. Check out Caleb if you enjoy amazing fat phobic content. From one of our favorite fat phobic creators, Caleb, at Off-Brand Media.
Off-Brand Media. Just a fascist, please.
I'm just a fascist.
And if you like fascist content, check out my channel, Some Ordinary Gamers, where absolutely the worst right wing takes are made on a daily basis. Well, you can't get canceled if you already align, right? Like, come on now. But thank you for all for showing up. If you like what you saw, please like, comment, and subscribe. Dislike if you dislike it. We are out.